Would you turn with me, please, to the next portion of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 15, and we will read verses 1 through to 10. I only intend to speak on verses 1 to 7, but let's read Luke 15, 1 through to 10. Let's all hear the word of God. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Amen. And thanks be to God for his word. Throughout the Old Testament, the image or even the narrative of the shepherd and the sheep is used many times to present God's compassion and his care for his people, but also it presents the waywardness of his people as the sheep who wander. Our Lord here draws on that narrative or that image to present the parable that we just read there in Luke 15 verses 1 to 7, known as the parable of the lost sheep. In the narrative we read, Christ told a parable, and then what we would think of as three parables followed. Perhaps he considered them parabolic statements with one common theme, and thus one parable. In all three of these parables, as they're listed in our Bibles at least, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son, in all three of them, there are at least four common elements. Something or someone is lost. Someone seeks out what is lost. That person rescues or finds what had been lost. And then finally, there's rejoicing. So in all three parables, something's lost, something's sought after, it's found or rescued, and then there's rejoicing. Four parts. Now, we read clearly in verses 1 to 3 that Christ told this parable of the lost sheep after the religious leaders, the Pharisees and scribes, expressed their offense that our Lord was socializing with sinners, with tax collectors and sinners, we read. And you'll probably be aware that in the time of Christ, tax collectors, they worked for Rome. They were Jews usually, but they worked for Rome. They demanded taxes for Rome from God's own people, and often they did it dishonestly, demanding excessive amounts from the people and pocketing that excess. Sinners, they were there as well, we read. Sinners included all those who were deemed unclean and outside of the religious sphere of acceptability. They were the drunkards. They were the immoral. They were the thieves. They were those unclean for all manner of reasons. And for a faithful Jew, contact with the likes of tax collectors and sinners only ever resulted in contamination and uncleanness, and eventually corruption of self. Now you might recall, as we've been working through Luke's gospel, that Luke tells us so many times that it's to people such as these that Christ came. I think back to Luke 7. Christ went and ate in the house of Simon the Pharisee. And who was it who came to Christ and wept at his feet? A woman of the city. Simon the Pharisee denounces her as a sinner, and Christ agrees. But there, just as here in Luke 15, Christ seeks out, or Christ receives, those who the people of God, the church of the time, dismissed. And we see the same today, don't we? Those who dismiss the unchurched, those who dismiss the worldly, those who dismiss the religious misfits, are often those who pride themselves on their churchliness. But Christ came for the opposite reason and did the opposite. Think forward in Luke's gospel. How many of you know who Zacchaeus the tax collector was? Luke 19. Short narrative. And it ends with our Lord and Saviour saying, "For the Son of Man has to come to seek and to save that which was lost." So let's start there. With that which was lost. In this parable, there's the lost sheep. We're told in verse 4 that one man had 100 sheep. He was doing pretty well for himself, wasn't he? But he'd lost one of them. 99 were safe, he'd lost one of them. And that one sheep, we're told, was lost in the wilderness. It's a telling detail. It's lost in the open countryside, away from the protection of law and order, away from the shelter of God's people. The wilderness represented everything that was outside God's promised land. It was where disorder, danger, where all that abounded. And what does the shepherd do? Well, he left the rest of his flock, the 99%, let's say, in the safety, the shelter, and the protection of the promised land and of civilized company, and he went out in the wilderness to seek and to save that which was lost. He knew that one sheep could never be left to the wild animals, to starvation, to thieves, or the precipice, or whatever. Now, here, when Christ talks about the one lost sheep, he's simply presenting a picture of the spiritual condition of all people. Because of sin at large, because of the fall, and because of our own sinfulness, a disposition and deeds that we add to it, we are lost outside of Christ. We'll die. Not just physically, but if left to ourselves, we will die spiritually. We can use language such as spiritual starvation or spiritual attacks of predators, the attacks of the world, our own flesh, the devil. But the bottom line is, unless we are found and delivered by the Good Shepherd, we face an eternity outside Christ's sheepfold. Sheep are dumb animals, well matched to people lost in sin, blinded by that sin. Now, one little point here that isn't explicitly there in the text. According to the Jews who were listening to Christ, sinners had to repent first in order to be saved. They had to turn back to the shepherd in order to be found. According to Judaism, actually according to the default setting of every human being that's ever lived, the sheep had to want to come back and begin doing something to come back. Maybe not find their way back all the way to the fold, but at least begin the journey before the shepherd could save them. If you were to look elsewhere in Luke's gospel again, just the end of this 15th chapter, you've got the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. What did Christ say about the oldest son at the end of that parable? He saw his kid brother received back. He saw his kid brother received back into the family without any prerequisites, without any conditions and advance promises given and received. And we're told that oldest brother was angry and would not go into the house because the father had received back one who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, but you've killed the fatted calf for him. Christ has none of that. Christ represents us in our lost estate with this one wayward sheep. The whole focus of the brief parable, of course, is on the shepherd. And that's the second thing we see in this parable and the two that follow. The person going out and seeking. In chapter 14, where we had the parable of the Great Supper, the human responsibility was at the forefront. We were told that we had to make it our business to receive the invitation and act on it. But here in chapter 15, we see the other side of the dynamic. Here it's God's responsibility and God's initiative which brought out about salvation. The sheep wasn't looking to come home. Rather, the shepherd went out, going after his sheep. It's the very vocabulary there toward the end of verse 4. When we are lost, wounded, and wayward, Christ comes to us and rescues us, and that through the preaching of his gospel. And the truth is, in the church of Christ, there isn't one sheep who's never strayed. In differing ways, we've all been the wayward sheep, and Christ has sought us out. This parable, it's Jesus' story. It's a story about Jesus, the good shepherd, who came to seek and save the lost. I've mentioned Zacchaeus in Luke 19 already. But what would you make of the thief hanging on the cross? It's exactly the same point. Through the preaching of the gospel of Christ coming to earth, Christ living perfectly, the gospel of Christ dying at Calvary and rising, having paid for and defeated sin and death, through that gospel, Christ comes to us, seeking and to save his lost sheep. Those of you here today, and those of you listening in your homes, do you know why Christ received sinners and tax collectors and ate with them? Because in Christ, by that I mean in the person of Jesus and through the work that he accomplished, God was showing his love. He was showing the character and identity of grace. And he was fulfilling all the promises that we sung about in our opening hymn, our opening psalm, Psalm 23. David's shepherd psalm there. It's elaborated on by Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. You can just look at the title verse in our bulletins. And the pledge of Psalm 23, the prophecy of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they were all fully outworked and fully fulfilled by our Saviour Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. And Christ is still outworking his shepherdly office today in his church. There's few of us here in this room now. There's more, we trust, listening at home. Even though we can't meet together because of the COVID-19 virus, the Good Shepherd is still calling to us in our homes, calling to himself lost sheep. This is who Jesus is. This is what Jesus does. Do you believe in him? Have you received him? As we see the shepherd in this narrative going out and seeking, let me point out certain things about who was seeking and who was being sought. We're not told in the parable why or how the sheep had become lost. We are told that the good shepherd takes full responsibility in seeking this lost sheep. And what you see here is the extraordinary condescension of the good shepherd, Christ Jesus. There's nothing in the parable of the lost sheep to suggest that one sheep got lost because the shepherd had failed in his shepherding. But there's everything to indicate that this shepherd took full ownership of the loss of the sheep and went about rescuing that animal anyway. It's Ezekiel 34, verse 11, fulfilled. There, the Lord said, I myself will search for my sheep and I will seek them out. And the sheep had started out in the flock and wandered. And there's not one sheep that started out in God's fold who has managed to stay there by themselves. Rather, all sheep at some time go astray. Isaiah sums this up so succinctly in the great servant song of Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have what? Have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. So for those of us who are sheep, where lies our security? Is it in our propensity to remain in the fold and never wander? Of course not. Is it in the shepherd's remarkable faithfulness in seeking and saving we who do wander? Absolutely. Not the evil one, not famine, not disease, not anything can keep us from the good shepherd nor take us from him once he rescues us. And that's the third thing we see in this parable and the two that follow, isn't it? The sheep is found. The sheep is rescued. Christ always rescues those who are his, those whom he seeks. And in the parable, just a few words capture this grand truth. We're told that he left the 99 and went after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders. Christ always finds his sheep. All the Saviour's sheep will be found and rescued. None will be left behind. Think of Christ's words in John 10. The good shepherd gathers us in his arms and no one can take us from there. You and I, we might be emaciated. We might be scabby sheep. If you've spent any time with sheep, you know full well they're filthy, dirty animals, their own excrement caked into their own coats, their own fleece. But the good shepherd gathers us in. He takes us on his shoulders, and with gentle strength carries us. Again, this is what Ezekiel prophesied. I will seek what was lost, and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken, and strengthen what was sick. And in the parable, how did the shepherd, our Saviour, that is, how did he save the wayward sheep? Did he sit on his royal throne and send out orders and instruct hundreds of soldiers or footmen to go and comb the wilderness until one of them found the sheep, while he stayed in his regal splendour and comfort? No, The shepherd saved the wayward sheep by himself coming and shouldering the one that had wandered. You might be aware that in the time of our Lord, shepherding was the poor man's profession. Now, the man himself would go out in the dirt or the cold or the heat in day or night and tramp across the wilderness. He had to put his life on the line, warding off wild beasts. He had to tend to sick and injured and weak sheep. And he himself got covered with the blood and filth and dirt of the flock. This was not a rich man's job. This was not a task for the educated and the proud. It was just a task for the Lord of glory. Here again, see the personal condescension of the shepherd. And fourth, once the shepherd had found the sheep, what do we read then? Oh well, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing, we're told. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbours, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep." The conclusion of this is joy. What we read here is Christ's joy at the salvation of his disciples. We've got a glimpse here of what the book of Hebrews tells us about our Saviour. Hebrews chapter 12. We're told to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Christ is joyful when he restores lost sinners who've wandered in the spiritual wilderness. It is his joy to save us by the preaching of the gospel, seeking us out, and by the Holy Spirit granting us faith which finds us. And thus Christ rejoices. And that the joy there, as we read in verse 6, is shared, isn't it? He comes home, he calls together his neighbours, those in the community, and they share the joy. The parable comes to a conclusion with this joint rejoicing. And we read in the final verse, "I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." What's the straightforward meaning of Christ's words there? He's clearly saying that the shepherd and those who are with him rejoice at the deliverance of one wayward sheep. That's obvious, isn't it? But if that's the only point he's making, why does Christ bring in the 99 just or righteous sheep who don't need to repent? Well, look back at the beginning, verse 4. Christ turned to the Pharisees. Christ turned to the scribes who were offended at him. And he says, "What man of you?" Our Lord's comments here about 99 just persons who need no repentance is an ironic dig at them. Who can claim in the court of heaven to be a just person that doesn't need to repent? The apostle says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not even one." And Christ wasn't saying, "Paul, you got it wrong." Christ, rather, here in verse 7, was telling those listening that as they rejected the sinners and the tax collectors, heaven welcomed sinners and tax collectors and rejoiced at their faith, rejoiced at their repentance. While the pride of the 99 who believed they were just kept them from sharing grace and the joy of grace. Heaven certainly would delight in that joy. Pride only makes a man grumble at grace. But Christ is telling us here to share in the joy that he and heaven itself have at the salvation of individuals. Let me leave you with the words of the Apostle John from his Apocalypse. John writes, "The Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank and praise you for Christ Jesus, the Good Shepherd. We thank and praise you that we have been sought out, found and rescued and restored to the fold. And we would long to more fully experience that joy and delight at the salvation of and restoration of others into this local fold. Have mercy, please, and bless us, that other sheep might be brought in, and that we would delight in your mercy, seeing the miracle of your Spirit at work. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.